have our part that we have to respond to him. And when you start praying and you get serious about prayer and praying for situations, then the Lord checks you at times. And it's like, do you hear what you're saying? Do you hear how you're really praying? And many times we have a tendency, at least I have in the past, and I'm trying to get away from it, we'll say this. It's like we want to put all the blame on God for everything that's going on. What do you mean by that? Well, when we're praying, we'll say to God, well, Lord, you see this situation. You'll give it in detail to him. And then we'll say to him, you move by your power and by your spirit. Don't you think God already wants to move by his power and by his spirit? And we're having to tell God that he needs to meet this situation. And so what's been enlightened to me many times in the way that we pray, we need to pray that people that are in this situations will see the need that they are in, and they will respond to God. They will reach out to God. Because God gives us that free will. We can pray all that we want that God moves and works, but if that person doesn't start reaching out to God, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Think about the teachings in the New Testament, the Gospels that we have. When Jesus helped anybody, it's because they reached out to him. They reached out to him. And so when we're praying, oh, God, move in this situation, God wants to move in the situation, but the person has to respond. So I think sometimes our prayers might be more effective if we would pray, God, you see this situation, you see this person, you see this individual. I pray that the power be broken for whatever reason that they're not responding to you, that they will reach out to you, that they'll come to their senses, that your spirit will draw them, that you'll be able to work within them because they have to respond. And it's the same way for us in our lives. Many times we get into situations and we cry out to God and we say, God, move and work in this situation. And God's wanting to move and work in the situation, but he can't because we're not doing our part. Amen. We're not doing our part. So we are the ones that have to reach out to God. We are the ones that permit God to work in our lives. We are the ones that permits God to work in other people's lives because God doesn't force himself on anybody. He has not forced himself on any one of us that are here this morning, nor will God do that. Amen. But God will do things that he will cause people to be drawn onto him, and we can pray that way. So work on that a little bit in your prayer life. I mean, sometimes it's almost like a little easy way to pray. God, just help in this situation. Well, God's frustrated too. He wants to help, but people don't want his help. So we need to pray that God, that you'll work, that these people will want your help, that they'll respond to you. And sometimes when I'm praying, I pray to people, and God can do this. This is what God can do. God can reveal himself to somebody that might not even be reaching out to him. And then it'll cause them to pause and think, wait a minute, that was an act of God. And God can work in their life that way, that God will reveal himself to them. And so people won't reach out to God because they don't even know if a God's there. They don't know if it really is this thing, if it really happens, or if it's just a religious thing. But if God reveals himself unto people in an undeniable way, they are going to reach out to him. So that's how we need to pray. Amen, God, that you'll reveal yourself to them. You have your Bibles with you this morning. We're going over to Psalms chapter 81. Psalms chapter 81. And this psalm here talks about God's goodness and Israel's waywardness. Waywardness. How that they were always just going off in their own thing and getting messed up. And then they'd come back to God. And on Wednesday, we talked about this a little bit in the teaching that we're doing. Amen. God would have times that his judgment and his wrath would fall upon his children. And then they would have times of blessings upon them. But God, even in this situation here that we're going to read about this morning in Psalms 81, we're going to start at verse 13 down through the end, how that God wanted then to bless his children. He wanted to bless his people, but he couldn't bless them because they weren't responding to him in the correct way. Father, we pray that you will help us this morning as we look into your word, God, as we share the thoughts from your word today, God, that it will be anointed by you, that we will draw ourselves closer to you. We thank you for it in your name, Jesus. Amen. So let's read these verses. Psalms 81, verse 13 through 16. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat and with honey out of the rock, should I have satisfied thee. And so, the trend that we have as human beings, it's our natural carnal nature, just the way that we do things. We tend to want to help ourselves. We tend to not want to listen to anybody. There's something within us in our human nature that we don't want to listen to anybody. We just have that tendency to say, I know. Now we have a young boy. The church here just celebrated his fifth birthday, and I'm sure that if we ask his parents, there would be times, even at that young age, when they're trying to correct him and tell him something, trying to teach him something, and the famous words come out. We all did it as young ones too. I know, I know. No, you don't know. You don't understand. But we tend to do that with God. We just think we know. We think we got this life thing all figured out. We just know, and God can't teach us anything. We need to have a teachable spirit before the Lord. And a child and the young ones can go so much farther in life if they have a teachable spirit, if they have the attitude that, no, I don't know everything, and I need you as adults to teach me these things, because if I take what you learned for the 50, 60, 70 years that you lived and you learned how to do it this way, if I start out there, how much more advanced am I going to be as years go by? We need to think about it in that light. And we treat God the same way. We somehow tend to think that God doesn't know what he's talking about. God starts dealing with us. He starts talking to us. And we know, no, I got this, God. I know what I should do. I need to do thus and so. But we need to hearken unto the Lord. Amen. To keep his statutes, to keep his commandments, and do all that he wants us to do. And there's been a trend in what I've been sharing here on Sunday mornings, for this will be the third week in a row, how that God wants us to be in complete obedience to him. We don't receive those things that we ask of God many times because we're not obedient children. We're not doing what it is that God wants us to do. And God has a way of getting our attention. God has a way of disciplining us. And there's lots of reasons that prayers are hindered. I mean, you could get into a study on that. Many times our prayers are hindered. There's sometimes, and you might not hear many people say this, but there's many times in the way that people are living so contrary to what God wants, it would be better for them if they didn't even pray. If they didn't even ask God, Lord, I need this. God, I need that. Lord, help this one. Lord, help that one. Because when I pray, I want God to hear my prayers. We know that God hears, but I want God to answer my prayers. And when you pray, you should want God to answer your prayers. You're not just wasting your time praying. Amen. So don't come to God with that attitude that you know and you have it all figured out. That song that was written so many years ago, and I'm sure it had good purpose and meaning, the person that wrote that and penned that, the thought that they had in mind, I'd like to know exactly what it was. But there's some people that just think, you know, instead of me and Jesus, we got our own thing going. Jesus, I got my own thing going. Lord, I have this all figured out. I have this whole thing of life figured out, and I can do this. And we don't call upon God. But God, he's a needful God. He's a God that's a needy God too. He has needs. And what's the need that God has is that in verse 13, that we hearken unto him. That we pay attention to what he's saying, that we pay attention to the word of God, that we pay attention to the preaching. We heard preaching here on Friday night. Oh, that made us feel good. We heard that, but are we going to hearken on to it? Are we going to put it to use? Or are we just going to feel good about it at the moment? And then it's going to be a word, as the parable that Jesus gave. It just becomes a seed, a word that just falls by the wayside. It felt good in the moment, but you have to act upon it. God wants us to hearken on to him. He wants us to listen to him. He said, if my people would have just listened to me, and if they would have lived and walked in my ways, life could be so much better for them. And it's the same way. This God has the same message for us today. If we would just learn to hearken on to him, to listen to him, to walk in his ways, to do what he wants us to do, we would live a much better life. And then it would be like the last verse that I read, that we would be able to to eat the we'd be able to eat the finest of the wheat, and we would be able to eat that honey that comes out of the rock. Oh, we want that. We want the finest wheat. We want the honey that comes out of the rock, but we don't want to hearken to God. It's not us that decides how we live. God has decided that for us. If we're going to live in God's ways, we have to walk in His ways. And He says, oh, I just wish, it's not worded that way, but I'll word it that way. I just wish that my people would have hearkened unto me, and that Israel would have walked in my ways. And it has explanation point there. His heart just aches for that. And it still aches for that today for us. Amen. God's heart hurts for us that we would hearken unto Him and that we would walk in His ways. Are you walking in God's ways today? We used to sing a song. Amen. Maybe we need to get that song out and dust it off. I want God's way to be my way as I travel here below. For there is no other highway that the child of God should go. Though the way seems long and rough, as He leads me, that's enough. I want God's way to be my way every day. Many times we want God to conform to what we want. We have a plan for our life. We have a plan for the day. And we just want God's blessing to be upon what we want for the day. But what about the thing that God wants? We need to learn to hearken unto Him. He said that my people would hearken unto me, that Israel had walked in my ways. And if they would have done this, and then verse 14 tells us what has happened. Amen. God promised what would have happened. He said their enemies would have been quieted. Amen. Because God would quiet their enemies. Your life would go a lot smoother. You would live a lot quieter of a life. Are you living a life that's not too quiet? Are you living a life that's just on the edge and you're always on nerve? You're just always on edge. You're just always, you know, a thread away from having a nervous breakdown or tipping over into the deep side. Amen. If we would hearken unto the Lord and walk in His ways, then you're not going to have a nerve away from having a nervous breakdown or tipping over into the deep, off the deep end. Amen. That God would quiet your enemies. God would quiet your enemies, those adversaries, those things that come against you. God would quiet them down for you. And then it goes on in verse 14, and it says, also God's hand would have turned against your adversaries. Amen. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth in me, but I'm not going to submit myself to God. It doesn't work that way. If you don't submit yourself to God and walk in His ways, all of that, you know, we can put the enemy to flight. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. It's not going to be there to help you if you don't submit your ways to God. You got to give your ways up to God. You got to submit yourself to God. You got to walk in His ways. He said, I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned that my hand against their adversaries. Amen. We want God to turn His hand against our adversaries. We are told, amen, today. And I'm jumping over there. I'm going to use this here for a marker. And it's a favorite verse that many of us have. It's over in the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. God would turn against our adversaries. We are told today that we all have an adversary, and it's this, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, be sober, be serious about what you're doing, be serious in your service to God. It's just not a happy-go-lucky thing. God, if you want to help me, here I am, and I know you'll help me in my foolish ways. You'll be there to straighten me out and help me. No, we have to be sober about serving God. We have to be vigilant. That means we're on the lookout. We're on the watch out. Why? And it goes on here and tells us, because your adversary, the devil, you have an adversary against you. Somebody is against you, and it's called the devil. He's out to get you. He's not happy because you're in church this morning. He's happy this morning because he's been successfully able to keep some people from gathering in God's house in God's name when they should be in church. And so he's won the battle with them. But we have to be vigilant. We have to be careful. We have to guard ourselves in our service to him. We have to be vigilant. We have to be sober about reading God's word, about studying God's word. We have to be sober. We have to be vigilant about that prayer time that we have with God. I know we, as a collective prayer, we call it, we have that here on Sunday nights from 5:30 to 6. We have it the first Monday night of the month, unless it falls on a holiday, from 7 to 8 p.m. We need to be serious about that. We need to be vigilant about that. We need to be watching, because there's an adversary out there that doesn't want you to spend time with God in prayer, because that's where you communicate with God. That's where you talk to God, and God can talk to you. That's where you meditate. Your adversary doesn't want you to get into the Word of God. He doesn't want you to hear the Word of God being read. He doesn't want you to lay your eyes on these pages, because he's afraid you might get some enlightenment, you might get some understanding. We know that that adversary is out there against us. And so God said in verse 14 of Psalms that God's hand would be turned against your adversaries, but that is if you hearken unto God and walk in his ways. We don't hearken to God. We don't walk in his ways. And then when our adversary, the devil, comes against us, we just cry, woe is me. Where's God? How come God isn't helping me? How come this happened in my life? How come that happened in my life? It's a little bit late then to call on God. We got to go back, as I've been saying the last few weeks, we got to get first things first. We need to be in good communication with the Lord. And so we need to be sober. We need to be vigilant, because your adversary, he's my adversary. He's your adversary. Amen. He's everybody's adversary, even his own children. Amen. Those that are not Christians, he's against them. Because it says your adversary, the devil, he's as a roaring lion. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour. And he's not just a roaring lion. He's a hungry lion. His appetite is never satisfied. Amen. No matter how far you go into sin, the devil's never satisfied. He wants you to go deeper and deeper and deeper. And we studied in Sunday school this morning. They call it the great sin of David. But the sin of David, how that started out as just a look, and then it led to this, and led to that. The appetite of Satan is never going to be destroyed. The appetite of that roaring lion is never going to be destroyed. But if you're going to devour, or if you're going to defeat that roaring lion, you have to hearken unto God. You have to listen to him, and you have to live in his ways. You have to walk in his ways, because I'm no match for that roaring lion. You're no match for that roaring lion, because if we try to do it in our own ability, in our own strength, we're not going to make it. We're going to become a statistic. He's never satisfied. He's going to keep coming after you. He walks about seeking those whom he may devour. And I can tell you somebody that he can't devour, and that takes us back to Psalms 81. The ones that he can't devour are the ones that hearken unto God and that walk in the ways of the Lord. If you hearken unto God and you walk in his ways, the enemy can't devour you. I don't want to be lion food. I don't want to be lion bait, because you see what a natural lion does to the meat that they feed him. I've been at zoos before when they fed those big lions, the big, I don't know what they call them, the big male lions that have the big beard. I mean, they throw them a big chunk of meat. It probably weighs 10 pounds. It's a big chunk of red raw meat. And those lions, they come up to it. They just don't nibble at it. They just don't nibble at it. You can't walk over there and try to take it from them. That's their bait. They devour that thing. They chomp that thing right down. Amen. And that's what the devil wants to do with you and me. He wants to devour us. He wants to chomp us down, chew us up, spit us out, turn us inside out. And the only way that he can do that is if we don't hearken and listen to God and walk and live in his ways. It's vitally important that you walk in God's ways. And so he's looking for an opportunity to hit us. Amen. He devours us. And if he can't get us in a big chomp like this, he'll throw a little fiery dart at you. He'll hit you in a weak area, in a weak time of your life. He'll throw those fiery darts. But this adversary, the devil, he constantly comes against us. And you know what? He keeps repeating the same tactics over and over again. He'll come and he'll bump up against you, and you'll resist it. And you'll think, wow, I got the victory over this. But he's going to keep coming back, and he's going to keep bumping, because he tries to wear people out. The enemy doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. He doesn't get tired of trying to wear us out. He just keeps pounding and pounding and pounding. And for his continually pounding, he's able to weaken people. And when they take people into prison prison camps, they'll brainwash them. They'll constantly come against them, come against them, come against them, until finally they'll just surrender and give up. And so in this fight against Satan, you're right. You can't. can't do it on your own. You're no match against him. I'm no match against him. Therefore, I need to hearken unto God. I need to listen to God. I need to walk in his ways. And then in verse 15, it says, the haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him. And what that means, the interpretation, the haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him. But what did they do? And this is where we fall many times. Okay, this is where we fall many times. We don't classify ourselves a hater of the Lord, but a hater of the Lord is one that pretends to be submissive to God. They pretend to be submissive to God. And if you're here this morning and you're just playing that pretend game, it just looks good. I come to church. I give my tithes. I give my offerings. I sing the songs. I stand when they say stand. I raise my hands. Say raise my hands. I worship God when they say to worship God, but I'm just pretending because I know myself, and down inside this thing here, I'm just doing it because it sort of makes me feel good. But there's a wild streak in me, there's a wild side in me, and I'm going to do what I can do, and I can't wait until I can get out of here. In fact, you get to the point that you don't really want to see Sundays come, and you don't want revival meetings to come in that, because why? People that are pretending. Amen. They pretend to submit to God. Amen. That's hypocritical to pretend to submit to God. I want to give God my all. I want to be honest before God. God knows everything anyway. So why to try to hide it from God? You can hide it from your spouse, from your children, from your friends, family, from the preacher, but you can't hide it from God knows if you're genuine or not. And so because the people lived this way, the haters of God, it says because they faked it, amen, their issue is going to go on with them forever. And it says, should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. It's going to endure forever. That attack is going to be there forever because they won't submit to God. We've got to submit unto God. You just have to do this. Yes, you got to give your heart to Jesus, but then it's like you got to give yourselves wholly and totally and completely to him. And that happens in steps. Happens sometimes in baby steps. Sometimes there's big steps, but we're constantly progressing and we're working on our walk with God. And so God didn't want it this way. Amen. God didn't want it this way. Instead, God had plans to feed them the finest wheat and to give them honey out of the rock in verse 16. He didn't want it to be that way. He doesn't want people's lives to be in shambles that are so-called Christians. But a lot of so-called Christians, their lives are in shambles because they have not submitted themselves completely unto God, and they don't have a burning desire and drive down in their heart to be pleasing to God. They just do what the church says they should do. They just do what they see other Christians do, and that's a dangerous path to go down. Amen. You got to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You got to see, God, what is it that you want me to do? God had plans to bless all of his children. He wanted to bless all of them, but God's hand was held because they didn't listen to God and they were living in their own ways. And many times in our own lives, we don't see the blessing of God like we need to see the blessing of God because we have tied the hands of God. How have we tied the hands of God? We continue to live in our own ways, and we continue to dabble in things that we know that God doesn't really want it, but we know he's a forgiving God. And God knows I'm trying, and so we'll just keep moving on with this. God doesn't want you to struggle all your life with the same issues. He wants you to have deliverance and victory over things in your life. Amen. And so honey from the rock, it's mentioned two times in the Bible. It's in Psalms 81 and in Deuteronomy 32:13. God is always displeased when his people turn their back on him. And so what do they do? God is always displeased when people ignore him and go in their own ways. That displeases God. Has that happened to you in the past week, in the past month, in the past year? Where you have ignored God and you just go in your own ways. And so in this Psalm 81, this passage that we're looking at, we're looking at a sorrowful God. God was sorrowful that his people wouldn't listen to him or submit to him. It just made him feel so bad inside. And we that are parents already know, we've had that feeling at times when one of our children wouldn't submit to us. They wouldn't listen us. There's a sorrow that's in your heart. It's almost like you have a broken heart. It's like, what more can I do? I plead with them to go in this way and do this thing, but they won't submit to me. They won't listen to me. They won't obey me, and it hurts them. Amen. And so it hurts the heart of God. Amen. When people won't listen to him or submit to him, they go in their own ways. I'm looking at another scripture now over in the book of James. Chapter 4, James chapter 4 and verse 8. James chapter 4 and verse 8. It says this: draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So God gave them up to their own devices, and it only brought chaos and tragedy. God will do the same thing in your life. He'll give you up to your own ways, to your own devices. You want to do things a certain way, and you know, well, God probably, you know, really, I haven't sought the face of God. I don't really know, and I don't think it's really that important. I can just go and do whatever, and God's blessing will continue to be upon me. God's blessings won't be there. Amen. God gave them up to their own devices. Amen. That only brings chaos and tragedy. James chapter 4 and verse 8. What are we to do? We are to draw nigh to God. Draw close to God. Oh, we need to sing that song sometimes. There's Bible verses we could find. Draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to me. Just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to me. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. We're saying let it be to God, but God's saying I want it to be that way. We're the ones that have to let it be. We have to submit to him. Is submission an easy thing? Absolutely not. When you're at your place of employment and the employers come down, the administration comes down, and they say that we're going to change a policy and this is what we're going to do moving forward, and you're like, oh great, that sounds wonderful, I'm right on board with you, we'll just go and do that. No, we don't do that. It's hard for us at times to submit even to what man wants. Amen. And so if we can't submit to what man wants, how can we submit to what God wants? We have a will within us. We want to do what we want to do, when we want to do it, how we want to do it. And we get set in our ways. We get stuck in a rut. And this is the way it's always been, and I'm going to do it. But we have to learn to submit ourselves to God. And so if we draw nigh to God, he's going to draw nigh to us. And then it says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You have to make up your mind who you're going to serve. Are you going to serve God or are you going to serve man? If we're going to serve God, we just have to give him our all. We just have to say, here I am, Lord. Just take me and do with me what you can. Lord, I'm not perfect by any means. Some of us try to clean up ourselves before we present ourselves to God. God doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to come to him just as we are, and he'll do the cleaning up. He's the one that does the change, and amen, but we need to learn to submit to him. And so in this world that we are living today, you can see all the violence that's going on. And a few years ago, there was, I don't know what year it was, if it was 2019 or 20, somewhere in there, the year that we had all those riots going on in our country, all that terror going on in our country. We look at all this violence that's going on. Amen. There's no regard for life anymore. There's no regard for property. It was just on the news this week, someplace, I think, out in the state of California. Amen. A bunch of youth went into a store and they just ravaged that store and took what they wanted to, and there was no repercussions for it. They just got to do their thing. You see all of this stuff going on. You see the shootings that are going on. I don't even like to listen to the news. There's a shooting here. There's a shooting there. Mass killings, mass casualties. You see that thing. You see the gang violence. We live in a secluded area here. We don't see gang violence. But if you live in the cities today, you live in New York City, you live in some of these large cities in our country, they have what they call drive-by shootings. Oh, they're after somebody. They'll just drive by and start firing guns at them. Amen. Random shootings. It's an unsafe world that we live in. So why is the world that we live in so unsafe? You know that violence has always existed, at least since the time of Cain and Abel. Whenever Cain killed Abel, amen, violence came into the world, but today it's more common. It's more rampant. And what causes this? Amen. What causes this? Because people don't want to follow God, and it started right at creation. It started with Adam and Eve, and it went on to Cain and Abel and come up through. People don't want to follow God. Amen. In the one scripture that I read, God has left them to their own devices because of the decisions that they made. We know better than this book. how to live, so we're going to do it this way, and the results, we are seeing them today. And it's not just in this country, it's around the world. It's a dangerous world that we are living in. Amen. People who fail to honor God, amen, people that fail to honor God are going to be a people that will be overcome suddenly with violence. And so our politicians and people, they're looking around and they're saying, man, how did we get here? Why are things so violent? Why are things so bad? So they try to make legislation. Well, we're going to control the guns. If we can stop the guns from being in people's hands, we'll stop the violence. They're wrong. Amen. That ain't going to stop the violence. The violence is there because people are not following God. They're not acknowledging God. There's no time for God anymore. Amen. And it would even be safe to say this morning nations of the earth have turned against God. How does that make God feel? Amen. God's not a man like we are, but it's the only way we can think because we're men. He's sitting on his throne and he's looking. There's not a nation on the earth that's seeking after me. They have all turned against me. Amen. And a sad part of it today, there's even some churches that have turned against God. There are some, and I'll say so-called Christians, that have turned against God. How does that make God feel? What does it do to his heart? And he sees the people, the confusion that they're in, the madness that they're in. And God knows the reason that they're there is because they've refused to follow me and to walk in my ways and obey my voice. Now look at the chaos that they have. And I think it hurts the heart of God. And so in the world that we're living today, politicians included, people that you might know, maybe yourself, they're wringing their hands, wondering, why are things so evil in this world? Why is it so evil? Why is it so unsafe? Why are we at the point that we are, even in this small community that we live, all the drug overdoses that go on, all the deaths that are related to drugs in this small area that we live, we wring our hands. What are we doing wrong? Why is it happening this way? It's because people in general have not obeyed God. They have refused to walk in his ways. And God said, go ahead and walk in your own ways, but this is what it's going to lead to. It's leading to chaos. And if there's chaos in your life today, amen, you need to examine your life. You need to examine yourself. And is there some part of your life where you have neglected God? You're not acknowledging God. You're not following God. You're doing your thing. You're doing it your own way. Amen. It's best to obey God. And so in reality, it's sad that people don't understand where they've gone wrong. Our society doesn't understand where it's gone wrong. This world doesn't understand where it's gone wrong. The politicians don't understand where it's gone wrong. They point fingers at each other. It's because of your policies. No, it's because of yours. They keep throwing money into things. And if anything, it's getting worse. Why? Because people don't acknowledge God. And so in Psalms 81, God gives people hope. What is that? Number one, we need to listen to him. We need to follow his ways. We need to do what God ways. It doesn't matter what you think. It matters what the Word of God says. You have a right to your opinion, but if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, your opinion needs to get in line with what God's Word is, because this is supreme, this is final, this is going to endure forever. Amen. This Word changes not. Amen. So it sounds easy. Just listen to him. Just listen to God. Just follow his ways. That sounds easy enough. And so what do? We try our own programs to solve problems, but we don't God and look at the results that we're getting. We throw money, we have programs, we have 10-step programs, 5-step programs, 7-step programs. We just need to do this and this, and then we'll fix the problem. But the problem still exists because they don't include God. Amen. God needs to be included in your life too. Whatever situation you're facing today in your family, and you can't find an answer, and you don't understand and don't know why, maybe because you're not including God the way you should include God. We need to listen to God. Amen. We need to be in his word. We need to be on our knees in prayer. We need to humble ourselves before him. Amen. With a broken and a contrite spirit. Amen. And with fasting. In Psalms 51, I'm just going to take one verse out of there. And this is where we need to come. Amen. We're winding down here in a little bit. Psalms chapter 51. And we're going to look at verse 17. Psalms 51:17, it says this, the sacrifices of God, what are they? A broken spirit, a broken and a contrite spirit, O God, thou wilt not despise. Thou wilt not despise. Amen. And so how is the enemy going to be subdued? How are we going to subdue this enemy? Greater is he that's in me. The devil goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We take all that into consideration. Amen. But by these means, amen, the enemy will be subdued. God will subdue the enemy. And by what means? By prayer and fasting. It's the last thing we want to do. If you're in a dire situation, the last thing you want to do is not eat. If we're in a dire situation, it affects all people differently. Some people in a dire situation, they just want to be gluttons. They just want to eat, and eat all the time. They don't want to fast. They don't want to pray. When you're in need, that's when you need to pray. But if you don't pray when you don't have any needs, how much harder is it for you to pray when you have a need? Because you soon convince yourself, I'm nothing but a beggar. I haven't been treating God too good. I haven't been in communion with him. I haven't been communicating with him. Now that I've got this big, huge problem, I'm going to communicate with him. He's probably not even going to listen to me anyways. You're right. He's probably not going to hear you because you haven't committed yourself to him. You're not following him wholly and completely. Amen. And God said that there is honey in the rock. Amen. In the hard places in your life, there is a blessing. If we choose to live in God's way, there is a blessing there. I want God's way to be my way as I travel here below. Are you willing to do anything or everything that you could possibly do that God asks of you without resistance or resentment? And then you need to do Psalms 51:17. A broken spirit, a broken and a contrite spirit, O God, thou wilt not despise. Amen. And we stop doing things our way, and we learn to do things the way that God wants them to done. We have a contrite spirit, a broken spirit. We don't come, and we're not telling God how it's going to be. You're like, God, here I am. Lord, things are a mess. I don't know where to go, where to turn, what to do. But God, I know I need to turn to you, and I'm looking to you. And get yourself back online with God again. Amen. We need to put off the carnal man, and we need to yield to God's will. And God won't despise you, amen, for choosing his ways. You choose God's way, God's not going to be upset with you. He wants you to follow him. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Amen. If Sister Bonnie can come down to the music. Let's sing that song, I Want God's Way to Be My Way as I Travel Here Below. And so what you have to do is you have to hearken unto God and walk in his ways. Your life will be blessed. Things will go much better for you. I can say that. And I'm not saying because God told me. I'm saying that because the Word says that. If you hearken unto me and you walk in my ways, I have blessings for you. And so choose God's way today. Amen. Submit whatever situation you're facing today. Amen. Turn it over to God. And if anybody wants special prayer, amen, this morning for the sermon or otherwise, you can come down to the altar. We'll pray with you. Amen. As we sing this song a few times. And this is what it's got to be. I want God's way to be my way. Oh, God, I want you to move. God, answer this situation. God, answer this problem. God's like, hello, I would love to do it, but you got to get your ducks in a row. You got to get things in order so that I can do it. Ooh.